that as much as I did. Good message this morning. We'll shift gears a little bit. I'm thankful. I can rest in the fact that you've already been fed this morning with a good message. And I ask an interest in your prayers as we take the balance of the time. And what was on my mind this morning when we got up is a thought. I don't really have a text, but I have a subject. And that is, when little is much. When little is much. And I want to start kind of laying a foundation by going back to some of the Old Testament. Lots of places we could go. I'm just going to have to hit some high spots. When little is much. When God delivered his people out of the land of Canaan, they went in as a little. But when they came out, it was millions of people. But even so, they were shepherds. They were not seasoned warriors. And when he did deliver them out, and you know I'm having to skip a whole lot here. But when he did deliver them out, and they came up to the Red Sea, there was nothing they could do. The enemy was pursuing them. They were fearful, but they had nowhere to go. God told Moses to tell them, you tell them, stand still, fear not. See, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'll tell you something. When you read that passage and you're reminded how that God parted the waters of that great Red Sea. We're not talking about the Reed Sea, are we? You know, if you read the commentaries, they'll say, well, that was just the Reed Sea. It was just ankle deep, and they were able to get across. No, this was the Red Sea. The water parted and congealed. It was in great heaps on each side of them, and they were able to go across on dry land. And not only that, but after they passed across, the Egyptians decided they were going to go as well. And the whole Egyptian army was in that area that where the water had parted. And God allowed those waters to enclose them and drowned the greatest army on the face of the earth. They didn't have that power. At least they didn't possess that power on their own. But they had it in the Lord. God had great power. They didn't have any power to part those waters, but God had all the power he needed. Always has, always will. Everlasting and eternal. I agree with Brother Thomas on that. As a matter of fact, you can go to the last chapter, last verse of chapter 25 of Matthew, and you'll find both words there, but behind it in the original language, it's the same word. Eternal and everlasting. God has that power. He always has had the power, all power, and he always will have that power. When Joshua later would take over, and God called Joshua to lead the children of Israel, and they went up against Jericho, a great walled city. Remember, these were shepherds. These were not seasoned warriors. And they were to take the city of Jericho. Did they have the power to do that? Was the city taken? Yes, it was. But it wasn't by their power. He told them what to do, marching around the city once a day, for 7 days, and then to seven times on the last time. And when they did what God told them to do, the walls fell down flat. They didn't have that power. They had a little power. God exercised his power on their behalf and delivered them on that occasion to do what he had called them to do. There's other places in Scripture. David and Goliath. Do you remember that story? Do you like that story? When David went out against Goliath? My goodness. I guess everybody's impressed with that story, aren't they? What power did David have that he could go out against this Philistine giant? Now again, I'm just having to hit some high points here, but I want to get to the main part of what I want to talk about. But David against Goliath. My goodness. Well, the king even said, well, you're just a lad. And at least he tried to get David to use his armor, but David hadn't proved it. But what happened? David, trusting in the living God, went out against Goliath, and God delivered him. And I want to, on this one, I want to take a moment to read a verse of Scripture. A couple of verses, by the way. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, you'll find the account of this where David goes out against Goliath. And in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me get one more. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Brethren, that's a message we need to be reminded of today. We have so little strength, so little might against what's going on in this world. We can't do anything. But God can do anything he wants to do. God can take care of the situation. He over and over, I could spend all day going through one passage after another where God has exercised his power to take care of his people in their weakness, in their troubles, in whatever came against them. He is able to deliver us. How about Jehoshaphat? You know I love that name. King Jehoshaphat. When a great host came against Israel, and Jehoshaphat feared. That's okay. There's plenty of times when we fear in this world. But fear should not debilitate us. Fear should not cause us to curl up in a corner. We've got the God of Israel on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so when the great host came against Jehoshaphat, he feared. And then he prayed. He said, Lord, the enemy cometh, and we have no might against this enemy. And we don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. I think I told you recently, that's the only place you'll find that phrase in Scripture. But our eyes are upon thee. And he said, wilt thou not judge them? And oh yes, God judged them mightily. But the point is, they didn't have any strength. They didn't have any might. But God did. And they came, they humbled themselves before God and prayed unto the God of heaven. And God blessed them with a mighty victory. Not only a mighty victory, which they didn't have to fight, but it took them days to gather up the spoils. God is able to take care of us. He's told us, he's shown us in his word time and time again. In all of these things, And I could keep going, but in all of those situations, he's shown us that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And isn't that what the Apostle Paul had to learn over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? When Paul prayed three times for the Lord to remove that thorn in his flesh, which was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. So he prayed to the Lord three times for him to remove that thorn. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now what we faced in this nation, and I appreciate what Brother Thomas said about this, what we have faced and what we are facing in this nation, if nothing else, it ought to remind us that we have no might against the things that are going on in this world. But we have an almighty God who is able to deliver us. We have an almighty God who is able to take care of us and to provide for us. And I tell you, I don't even get into so much of what's going on today, but there are those who have imposed a lot of suffering on a lot of people. And don't you think that's gone without God noticing it? God will judge them. He will take care. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going to have to suffer any. There's already plenty of suffering going on around us. There's plenty of that. And it's going to, it looks like it's going to continue for a while. But God is able to take care of us. And no matter what we have, what we've already heard this morning of the preservation of God, that God has sent his Son to save us from our sins, and that we're safe in the blood of Christ, and nothing can ever separate us from him. Bless your hearts as we think about all that we have in our Lord. Every day, we should begin our day thanking God for his mercy, thanking him for his love, thanking him for his blessings, thanking the giver of all of these good things. Bless your heart. Don't forget to thank the giver of all that we have. For he's worthy of our praise and our adoration and our trust. And we can rest in him. We can rest in his finished work. We can rest in the hope in Christ. We can rest in the blessings that we have in our God. For he is able to take care of us and to deliver us in whatever troubles we might have. And so that's Old Testament. We come to the New Testament, and it opens with the birth of our Savior. And there again, you see the image of something that seems so small and so insignificant. And not only that, but this baby in a manger, well, there was no room for him in the inn. You know, there's still no room for him in a lot of places nowadays. Is that right? Oh, but bless your hearts. That little baby in the manger was not just any child. I mean, what could a little child like that do? While the angels proclaim glory to God in the highest. Here's your Christmas sermon, by the way. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Bless your hearts, Lord Jesus Christ was born a Savior. Amen. He came to this world as Savior. As we think about how insignificant it looked to the world, why, even he was born among a very poor family. When they brought him to the temple and they made their offering, instead of bringing a lamb, they had to bring two turtle doves, because that's what the law allowed for those that were poor. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They did bring a lamb. They brought the lamb. The Lamb of God. John the Baptist would later say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, as we think about our Lord and Savior, though he came for what appeared to be such humble beginnings. Yes, bless your heart. According to his humanity, he was the son of David. But in his divinity, he's the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so as we find that the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 7 that he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Because God purposed that he would come in that way, that he would be born free from sin, that he would be a fit sacrifice for our sins, that he would go to the cross, that he would shed his precious blood, that he would redeem us from all of our sins. And not only would he go to the tomb, but he'd come forth out of that tomb 3 days later. Oh, we rejoice to know that though it seemed to be something so small, yet that was one of the greatest events in all of history. That God sent his, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Bless your hearts, he came in great power and great glory. He has saved us from our sins. Oh, as we think about, and through his ministry, there were times when there were those that came to him. Well, there was a time, let me digress a little bit here, but during his ministry, we find that there was a time when there was a great multitude around them, and they were hungry. I believe this is in John chapter 6, one of them said, well, there's a little lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Well, you know the story, don't you? You know what they were among so many. If those disciples had passed out that food, it wouldn't have gone very far at all. Bless your hearts, the Lord took it and multiplied it. And multiplied it. And multiplied it. And I'd have to keep saying that for the rest of the day to get the point across about just how much food there was, because there was 5,000 of the men, besides women and children. And they all were fed and were filled. The question had been asked, what are they among so many? Well, when the Lord takes over, it's all they need. Matter of fact, he could have spoke something into existence, but he took that to show his power. But then later on, he made mention of the fact that there were some that said, you didn't follow me because of the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You know, we'd like to think that the multitudes were following Jesus because they saw his power, they saw his glory, they saw who he was, they saw that they were safe in him. No. Jesus said there was a lot of them that was following just because they had their belly filled. Just because of what they could get. That's a powerful lesson today, isn't it? A lot of folks are following others just because of what they're going to get from them. Bless your hearts. He told them, you didn't follow me because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He then went on to begin to tell them how that he is the true bread that came down from heaven. Their fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. But he said, those that eat of this true bread will live forever. And he's that true bread. He's the one that God sent to this world to save us from our sins. And so when we think about partaking, you know, when you partake of the natural bread, you take a part of it and you take it into your body and you digest it and receive the benefit from it. Well, bless your hearts, when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not talking about the natural kind of eating, are we? We're talking about being partakers of his body and his work. His body was given to be the sacrifice for our sins. Bless your hearts. His work was to shed his precious blood and to save us from our sins. We rejoice to know that we're partakers of his person and his work. And so as he came later on in John chapter 6, he would eventually talk about, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. We heard some of that already this morning, haven't we? Oh, but bless your hearts. He came for all that were given to him in the covenant of grace when God chose out his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. All that were given to him to save, he came down from heaven to do that. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work, John chapter 4 tells us. And so he did. He came down. He offered himself to the Father. He shed his precious blood. He redeemed us by his precious blood. We are safe in that blood, as we've already heard. We're preserved in that. Bless your hearts, what seemed to be so little and insignificant to the world, God used it for great things, to save his people from their sins. Amen. Every day we live, we can rejoice in that. We're not ever, as we've heard, we're not ever going to be separated from the benefit of that. How that ought to cause our hearts to rejoice every day we live. Do you believe that? Every day. Just on Sunday? Every day. On the good days? Yes. How about the bad days? How about the days of uncertainty? How about the days when we don't know exactly how things are going to go? Does that change anything of what God's done? No. We're still safe in him. We can trust in him every day we live. And so while we're going through some times of uncertainty, we look to him and remember his strength is made perfect in weakness. If we feel to be weak, then it's just reminding us where our strength really is. It's in the Lord. It's in his help. It's in whatever he provides for us. And so we ought to keep that in memory. Remember that each day and trust in him each day. I don't know what's coming ahead. You know, there's some things that I wish were different. There's some things I've got in mind that I think might be good. But I've quit asking specific things along those lines. I'm just asking the Lord to have mercy upon us and help us in that way that he knows is best. That's where our safety is. That's where our deliverance is in the will of our Father. He loves us. He gave his Son to save us from our sins. Nothing can separate us from his love. He's going to watch over us. He's going to provide for us. And so whatever we have to face, whatever, he's there for us, and he's able to keep us. And you know, sometimes the old devil whispers in your ear, what makes you think you are one of those that are saved by Jesus' blood? Or you might have this thought, who am I? What could I do? You know, it's not just a matter of existing. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And he would have us not only to have that great hope of heaven because of what he's purchased for us, but he would have us to have joy right now, every day we live. So who am I that I could be blessed in such a way and enjoy such blessings? Well, it's not so much who we are, it's who God is. He loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here in his love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then he goes on to say, if God so loved us, that we also ought to love one another. So as we go through these uncertain times, we're trusting in the power of our God to take care of us. We're thanking Him for the blessings that we have, and we need to be loving one another and doing what we can and praying for one another. There's plenty of things that we've been preaching here lately. There's plenty of things that He's done for us, provided for us, told us to do in His Word that can help us to have the joy that we need even as we're facing uncertain times. And one of the great promises we have is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that includes you sisters too. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's a lot of need in the lives of people around us right now. There's a lot of suffering going on right now. There's a lot of things for us to be praying for right now. There's probably some things that we could be doing to help one another and to be an encourager to one another, and maybe to try to help someone deal with some of the suffering that's going on in their life right now. We're not powerless. We're weak, but we have a mighty God. And if God puts something on our heart to do, He'll give us the grace and the strength and the resources to do whatever it is that He would have us to do. He's not going to put something on our heart and then leave us to figure out a way to do it. May God help us to realize that there's plenty of times when little has become much when we're following the will of God. Little can become great things if the Lord be pleased. If the Lord blesses. You know, there's not anything really that we can accomplish if the Lord's not pleased with it. But Paul, you know, he learned that whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content, right? But he went on to say, I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to bless you to put $1 million in your bank account. What Paul is saying is, I can do all things that's God's will. When I'm following God's will, when I'm doing His will, I can do. You know, Paul had suffered a lot, hadn't he? He'd been stoned. He'd been whipped. He'd been persecuted. He'd suffered a lot of things. But he came to that place where he realized, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. With God, a little can be a lot. Small things can become great things. There's a lot of people that are depressed and discouraged. And there's a lot of people that, you know, especially those that are staying shut in and not having contact with others. There's a lot of depression, a lot of discouragement in that camp. There's also a lot of people that are trying to live their lives, but they're frustrated, and they're thinking too much about the things of this world and not enough on the things which are above, and they're getting frustrated. I mean, I'm seeing behavior in some folks that I know are good Christians, but there's some things popping out of them nowadays. It just seems like it's because of some pent-up frustration and anxiety and those kinds of. We need to guard that, don't we? Guard against that. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. I changed that a little bit just to make the statement, but you know what I'm talking about. Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Bless your heart, you may feel like that you are insignificant. You may feel like you don't have any ability. You may feel like you can't do anything. Well, in a lot of respects, you're right. But God can do all things. God can do His will. And what we can do is trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. and get up and go in the power of his might and be faithful to God and trust him and look to him for all that we stand in need of. And when he's pleased, he can change a little into a lot. You could have a great influence if God blesses you to be faithful to him. Maybe these thoughts have been scattered this morning, but that's what's on my heart. God is able. God can take care of us. God can provide. I don't know what we're going to be facing in the next few years, a few days, a few years, whatever. But God does, and he's well able to take care of us in whatever it might be. Look to him. Trust in him. Serve him faithfully. You know, I've never seen a day in which it's more important for God's people to let their light shine. We're living in a dark day in a lot of ways. It's high time for us to let our light shine, to be faithful to God, and to look to him and trust him and serve him with all our might. That's our safety. That's our sanity. That's the best place to be. That's the best course of action that we can take. May God bless you is our prayer.